You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show right here on AfterBuzzTV.com, Season 6, Episode 4. It is called A Hairy Situation, and obviously I think that title is well warranted today. I'm Bobby DeMiro filling in again. Believe me, I'm back. And joining me also back filling in, Anna Koppel and Megan Stecker. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Although I believe, Megan, you're just like a regular on the show now from here on out. So.
Yes.
Good.
On the reg.
Finally. They're sick of the fill-in people. Grant will be back, we believe, next week. I think he's out of town on business. So.
That's what I heard.
Either way, he'll be back. In the meantime, though, you guys are stuck with Anna and I to fill in. So, Megan, I'm sorry that you have to deal with us, but thank you for having us join you on the show.
Oh, no. You're both welcome. Come back anytime.
Did you catch a little bit of Housewife shade right there? You've been watching too many Housewife shows.
Some tea and shade.
All right, let's jump right into it, guys. And as we do, thank you last week, all the comments on YouTube, the good, the bad, the ugly. We love it, though. We seriously do.
We do.
And we want to hear more of it. So if you love us, if you hate us, talk to us on YouTube. You can also subscribe on iTunes if you're listening to the podcast version of this thing. Let's jump in and let's talk about the most important part of this, the namesake of the show, the party. First things first about the party. If you're going to have a first responder party and you're going to, you know, honor first responders and raise awareness, because they said they weren't raising money, they were raising awareness. That's great. First responders have a very important job. You're smiling because you know what I'm going to say. The way to raise awareness is not to have a stupid costume party where it doesn't appear there's actually any awareness raised. It's just a bunch of people dressing up and drinking. It was Halloween.
Yeah, it's funny because I happen to know the Red Cross is going through like a major thing right now in California trying to raise awareness. And I can go into whole thing about that, but I won't because that's not what we're doing right now. But the Red Cross is going through serious issues. Like, you know, California might face some major crises and there's not enough awareness going on. But what they're not doing is they're not throwing costume parties. So silly.
I just felt bad for the one uniformed officer that they showed shaking hands with Joe, and then it's like he's surrounded by women with their breasts spilling out.
Like
it's Halloween or something.
I didn't feel bad for that guy.
He was probably like, this is creating a lot of awareness for me. Thank you.
It's raising something.
Nailed it.
But I'm chick.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
I didn't feel bad for any of the men with all the breasts out. Who I did feel bad for, the first responders. Who probably do need some awareness raised for. Ridiculous.
So I've got to ask you guys, before we get to the obvious topic of the fight, who had the best costume? And can I make my cases for you guys?
Go.
Joe Giudice, he said he was a detective. Really, he's wearing what he's going to wear to court in a couple months. And Rosie, because Rosie's so cool, she doesn't need a costume. Rosie's the best. Everyone is Team Rosie. I think her non-costume wins the night. But what about you guys?
Well, you like both of the non-dressed up.
Because if I went to a first awareness costume party, there's no way I'm wearing it. I would wear something normal.
Yeah. Well, I thought both of the twins looked really cute, but a little too slutty, shall we say? I don't know. I liked Melissa's SWAT team outfit because no one else had it. So I thought, I don't know. I liked it.
I liked Rosie as well.
And of course.
I also like Dina because Dina showed up in scrubs, pajamas, basically, and she still looked hot.
Listen, I'll tell you, as somebody who dates a nurse, anybody who wants to dress up as a nurse, I'm okay with that.
Good in your butt.
Dina was pretty good. All right, let's get to the fight now. What do we make of this thing? Obviously, even though we've been teasing this and we saw promos and stuff like that, you knew it was coming anyways because of what happened last week. And you could feel the tension the second that Amber walked in the door with Jim. I get a real bad... This is going to be the most like hippie thing I've ever said. I get a real bad energy off of Amber and Jim. A really bad energy off those two. It's negative. It's demeaning. There's something dark going on with them. Mm-hmm. I know you're laughing at me because I said that. But am I wrong?
No, I do too. Of course. I mean, I don't care for them. At all. And we talked about it last week, and we'll keep talking about it. I just think they're such phony people. We're just going to be jumping all around here. But the fact that in her talking head interview, Amber's like, I never said anything like that. And Melissa just twisted my words. And I love that Bravo like cut right to where she said exactly those words.
Word for word, yeah.
I mean... What a miserable human being.
You have to be miserable. And I know we talked about this last week, so there's no point to harp on it. But, Anna, I know you're skeptical. Megan, Anna's very skeptical of how much Jim works with the DOJ and how mm-hmm. much of a conflict of interest there is there. Let's take him at his word. Like I said last week, let's assume he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm very skeptical of why you then would sign up for the show that you know Teresa and Jojita are the biggest stars on, knowing that. And I know that mm-hmm. Amber probably wants stardom because she fancies herself as an actor with those stupid commercials. But even beyond that, it's not a smart logistical move. So every move you do beyond that, having just signed up for this show, I have to question every one of your motives and every one of your decisions, period.
And him dressing like his courtroom best for all of his interviews kind of freaks me out. And I'm also confused why Bobby, his friend, who's just a boyfriend, who we kind of think never wants to marry his girlfriend, who is a housewife, why is he getting all this screen time and interviews? He's just the boyfriend who's going to be broken up with. Like, I don't know. Both of them sketch me out.
Can we call me good Bobby and him bad Bobby?
Okay, perfect.
No.
I knew you were going to say that.
That would just clear things up for me.
Just to be honest, I mean, we've got a couple Teresa Teresas on the show, so I just wanted to clear the Bobbies up a little bit. Don't you give me that raised eyebrow, Anna. So the fight itself. We see a lot of housewife fights. I know that none of us certainly are rookies on the housewife scene, whether it's New Jersey or any of the other seasons and shows. There's so many fights on here, and I always reminisce to Teresa flipping the table several seasons ago as really one of the best Bravo housewife fights ever, maybe, for some reasons. This one, to me, took a little bit of a different turn. A lot of these fights, it's a one-on-one thing. It's exactly the way this situation sets up, and it's over very quickly. Somebody punches somebody or somebody pushes somebody, and Bravo makes more out of it than it was. And I was ready for that to happen again today. Having seen the promos, somebody's going to take a swipe at somebody, and that's it. This was much more personal, and it took a turn I didn't expect with the hair pulling because it got very, very, very emotionally heated. And it's like, not one person came out of their kind of world and got, you know, white hot angry, but three or four people did. Mm-hmm. All those girls did. And I don't think anybody walks away from here the better person. I think every one of those girls lost tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think that Melissa feels like an idiot for inciting the whole thing and then kind of not really doing anything to stop it when everyone started freaking out. I think Amber was an idiot to go getting so heated and raising her hands in the twins' faces right away. And for Nicole to grab Amber's hair right away when it didn't need to go there.
Yeah.
I think they all look really bad in the end.
I think that's what it is. The hair pulling really got it to me, and I certainly don't have quite enough hair to pull like that, and I'm no girl, so I don't understand the symbolism of that, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but these girls are so superficial, for better or worse, and they are so image-driven that when you go for something like pulling hair or doing something that's a direct affront to their image, that has to be something you take even more personally than just a regular old fight. You know, that has to be something that's even a little bit deeper than... It's like guys going below the belt. Am I wrong? Am I reading too much into that?
I hear where you're coming from. I still think... It's probably because I don't like her. But I still think Amber had... She's mostly to blame for this. She did make that comment. I don't think Melissa should have gotten into it. She has been friends with Amber longer, and she didn't need to say anything to the twins. But she did, and so now she's being confronted with it. Now Amber's completely denying it. Not only does she get physical with Nicole first, but then she also says, and that's why he'll never marry you. Like, you know, goes, like, right for the jugular with that, when we know, like, Nicole's obviously sensitive about that issue. You know, What just happened? Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So I think that's totally Amber. And I think that Melissa, for a while, was the only one trying to break them up. There were, like, all these men standing around just like, oh, I guess they're going to fight now. So I think Amber's like, and she goes storming into the kitchen like a crazy person. Like, I told you, they're animals. They're, you know, just, and this is why you'll never marry her. And I mean, she's crazy. She's a crazy person and a liar. Sorry.
I think it shows that how she was saying in one of her interviews, oh, she was my friend and I can't believe this happened. Well, immediately the first thing you did was look right at her and say, that's why I'll never marry you. And you stormed right up to her boyfriend and said the same thing. Like, she obviously does not like the girl underneath, if that's the first thing she said. And I don't think it was to hurt her. I think that's what she really thinks.
Yeah. And she did tell Melissa that she's
word for
a
word
family.
I wrote it down tonight so that I would know. She's her word for word. It was Nicole that broke up a family.
Yeah.
That's a long sentence for Amber, by the way.
By the way.
She's really good at hair flipping, you guys.
I don't know if you've seen her commercials, but I can't wait for our news and gossip. We've got some good mortgage company news coming up. But let me say this about the other thing that made this different for a housewife fight to me is the guys a lot of times on housewife fights are much more calm. They are much more removed from the situation where they want to get the girls removed. They want to say, everybody get along, stop it, let's squash the beef, let's talk about it. On this one, the guys got mad, first off, at the girls. Reno got mad at everybody.
Yeah.
Reno's like, y'all just need to kill each other. This is stupid. I think one of them literally said verbatim, this is stupid. You guys are stupid. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Amber instigating again. Amber running into the kitchen to instigate with Bobby, who instigates with Joe Gorga, who instigates with everything else. And then Jimmy gets involved and all hell apparently is going to break loose a second time. So Amber is the loose cannon here, but I was surprised at how the guys immediately jump into this because we have male tension on this show where I don't know that – I know we had a little male tension the last couple seasons, but I don't know it's ever been this fast and this explicit and over something that's this high stakes, like Joe going to prison. When we knew this was coming last year, a lot of the guys kind of rallied around Joe and they kind of had bro time and whatever, and we saw a little bit of that in some ways. This year – there's a very stark dividing line, and everybody's having tension with each other on the male side. So I can't help but wonder how that's going to fuel the women moving forward, and if we're going to see teams and camps like we've never seen even on a Real Housewives in New Jersey. And we're going to see, you know, a ton of different little alliances, I guess.
I think it's a great prediction. I think it might kind of be a parallel of the husbands having their own kind of show at the same time as the wives do with all their drama and things they've said to each other and the fighting. And which usually with the men, it's not a lot of griping and talking behind the back. It's physical right away.
Yeah.
So we might see that.
I feel bad too. And I know you don't like them, but and I don't like them either, but I feel bad for Amber and Jim because when you are, call me idealist, but the day I get married 20 years from now, don't even look at me like that, Anna. When you are with your wife, when you are a husband and wife, you back each other up no matter what. And if she is in the wrong, totally in the wrong, which Amber kind of was, you don't address it there. You take her side there no matter what. And then you pull her aside at home afterwards when you're calmed down and say, hey, baby, here's some things we need to work, whatever it is, you know. But you have to take her side no matter what, and she has to take yours. The problem with that, Amber has isolated herself from the rest of the women now completely, which is her problem. But she's also now isolated Jimmy, and he has to take her side. And to his credit, he did in the heat of the moment and was yelling at Joe, and that wasn't the smartest move, but at least he closed ranks with her. The issue is, who's going to want to hang out with either one of them again? You know, how do housewife producers move forward with this drama? Because both of them are toxic. In past years, it's been a woman who's been toxic. Melissa's had issues. Teresa's had issues. There's been toxicity there. But the guys have gotten along, and that's the bond and the undercurrent that keeps the housewives kind of connected. If both Amber and Jimmy are gone and are completely in their own isolated world, how do we connect them moving forward?
Well, they're both drama queens because, you know, as much as Amber came in and stormed into the kitchen and said whatever she said, you know, Jimmy also came in and, like, threw the, like, he, like, saved her hair and, like, threw it onto the counter. And by the way, like, her hair is very long and you know, ladies, we all lose hair all the time and, like, all day. It wasn't that much hair. It really wasn't. And it's silly. That was silly.
Well, let me play devil's advocate real quick. Mm. Amber lost all of her hair because of breast cancer.
And there you have it.
So is this... Not, I mean, obviously this is nowhere near going through cancer, but is this the hair symbolism, the hair pulling, losing hair? Does that bring up a memory for her that's, like, not good?
Sure. Well, if she's that sensitive about it, then, like, every time she brushes her hair, she must have a complete breakdown because...
Fair point.
No, like, honestly, every time she takes a shower, she must just shrivel up. I mean... No.
You're perfect for this show. You're perfect for this show.
I'm a terrible
You're
human
so
being.
Cold. You will never marry.
Yeah, you will. Look, she brought it on herself, okay? Like, I would not be that way towards Dina, certainly. I don't know. Maybe it would be. I don't know. But, no. But anyway, the point is this. He saved the hair to throw on the counter, like, this is what she did. She went right to that. She went right to physical. So he's dramatic in his own way.
100%. And excuse my language right now, but parental advisory, bleep out the next couple seconds. I would never call Joe Gorga a dumb fuck. Not to his face.
No.
Dude's a gorilla. I know he's like 3 feet tall, but he's really strong and in really good shape, and he's kind of crazy.
He's thick and rich on top.
He's thick and rich on top. I've had that phrase in my head all week long.
Yeah.
He's thick and rich on top. Not up here, but up here.
Yeah.
He's tough, he's crazy, he's mean, he has a very short temper. Mm-hmm. Why you would call him a dumb fuck to his face? No offense, Jimmy, you're kind of a dweeb. You're the most dweeby of these guys. You can't defend yourself. I would be shocked if you knew some sort of move to defend yourself against the Joes. You can't.
How about this? Like, why did you call him a dumb fuck in a room full of men that are obviously on his side and obviously much stronger than you? And
it's not even Joe Gorga who's the issue. The issue is Joe Giudice. The issue is other Joe, the potential federal convict Joe, inmate Joe. That's the issue. And he takes it out on the wrong Joe.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The
I know you're
have
mad.
To pull
but...
a number to hang out with. Is he out of his mind?
It was weird because Jim seemed to be slightly calm and handling Reno trying to fire him up. And all of a sudden he leans over to Joe and puts the hand on the shoulder and says, that didn't need to come out of your mouth.
I don't understand. And I don't understand why he leaned in and almost whispered to that Joe alone.
But then he kind of yelled it in his ear, looking up at Joe Giudice. Yeah. Are we going with Giudice or Giudice?
We had this debate last week.
It's definitely Giudice.
Here's what I think happened. Real quick, we'll give you the Cliff Notes version.
I watched it today.
Oh, well, then you're good.
Up.
You got it. Yeah. So I think we're going to go. I'll say Giudice. If he goes to prison, he's going back to Giudice. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Anyways, go on.
Joey G. Dice in the yard.
Nice.
Where were we? What did I say? Oh, I just don't understand why he like leaned over to whisper it, but yelled it. And he didn't need to do that at all. He was just going to explain, like, here's why I said that and I didn't want to hang out with you. I don't actually fault him for that at all. I know everybody's talked a lot of crap on him for it. But like, when that's your livelihood, of course you don't want to be photographed with somebody and that be bad for your business. Like, I don't fault him for that at all, but he didn't need to like freak out about it because then he obviously was just inciting another fight when he just needed to get his wife and get out of there. I don't know. Weirdo.
And is he a mortgage broker? Is he an expert witness?
Okay, out of Amber's mouth today, she said Jim is an expert witness in mortgage fraud security.
I think what that means is he runs a mortgage company, and because he is so in the world of mortgage, he is asked as an expert witness. What lawyers will do, what law firms do, is they hire people like this who are experts in a field, and they pay them very handsomely to do this. And on mortgage fraud cases or whatever, he will be paid to be an expert witness. Here's what happened with these mortgages, whatever.
But then what he said at the party was, I am prosecuting your brother-in-law.
So he may be an expert witness.
I work with the prosecutor.
He said that too.
Okay.
I think maybe he's concerned that he will be or already has been hired as an expert witness in that mortgage fraud case.
So he doesn't want to get let go and not get his payday.
And he doesn't want to have a truthful conflict of interest. I've been on his side with this. Whether or not he truly works with the DOJ as much as he says, this is a conflict of interest for him. Mm-hmm. I just wish he would have been come up front and say it. And at the party during the fight, I wish he would have taken the guys aside and said, girl fight aside, here's what's going on with me. I have a livelihood to protect. I have a family to protect and a career. I know you guys will understand that, and I'm sorry. You know, that's mm-hmm. all you had to say.
Yeah.
But instead...
But he's also, like, said he's all these things. And he did say, like, did I pass the bar? Sure. Do I practice law? No. But I am prosecuting. So I just feel like this guy is very slick, you know, and I'm not really clear on what he does. And I don't think anybody is. So I don't know. I just don't trust him. And neither does Reno.
Oh, obviously. No, Reno, listen, Reno is salt of the earth kind of guy. Like, I would love to have a drink with Reno. Come on. He is like, he'll probably drink me under the table, but he is a salt of the earth guy. The Joes, not quite as intelligent, but I love me some Joe Gorga. I would love to be thick and rich on top. But Reno is just salt of the earth kind of guy. And when you lose Reno, and the girls lost Reno in that fight, he was the one who said, y'all should kill each other, this is stupid. When you lose Reno, the total voice of kind of calm and reason, I'm sure he has his own problems, but he seems very level-headed relative to everybody else on the show. When you lose him, everybody loses. You know that you've done something really wrong. And when you lose Rosie looked terrified and she ran out of the way during that fight too.
If you scared Rosie, like, that was the exciting... I was so dang happy something finally happened this season. I was like, when is the fighting going to start already? I'm so bored. And I was so happy to see that it was so intense that all the, like, third outer ring of people surrounding them looked shocked. Like, their eyes were huge. And I saw Rosie in the back, like, ooh, like, she's running out of the way of something. And I was like, this is such a good fight. There was... not only was there hair pulling from both girls, then there was shoving. Nicole claims she got hit by Amber, so it was like a hit I didn't really see.
Hey, look at the tape.
There was throwing drinks, and I don't know if somebody smashed a glass, but they added a glass smashing noise.
I heard multiple glass smashes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, it was so good.
I have two questions about the fight for you guys before we move on, unless there's still more to talk about it. But my two questions I'm wondering, first off, going into season six, if I told you, without seeing any of the previews for any of the episodes, if I told you there was going to be a huge fight in season six and Teresa was going to have the smallest role, would you have believed me?
Never in a million years. I would have been like, well, then she incited it. She stood by with her arms crossed because
And number two, question number two on the fight. Where did Dina and her little new boy Matt go? We didn't see them when the fighting started. We didn't see them when Joe and them were getting into it. Did they go into a bedroom?
He pulled the girls apart. Yeah. So I did see him in that.
Oh, you're right.
Holding back one of the twins. I'm not sure which one it was. Trying to pull the girls apart. But I didn't see Dina and I didn't see Teresa during...
No, Dina was there too, trying to help break them up.
I was just wondering, like, kind of jokingly, like, you didn't see them. Maybe they went off and did their own thing. Because Dina did say, and I quote... Who couldn't picture getting under Matt? Me, for one. I could not picture getting under Matt.
She was looking for his fire hose.
You can't say things like that on After Buzz. This is PG-13.
Look, he's a fireman. It was a first responders party. Anyway.
Was he an actual real fireman?
I think, is that what they said? He was Bobby's friend from the fire department?
He's such a big man.
I could be wrong.
He's huge.
Yeah. I could be wrong.
He was huge.
He's a giant.
I was watching this earlier with somebody who could not believe that he was 34 years old. He looked much older than 34.
He looked too old, yeah.
Although Dina, for her age, looks amazing. I will give her that. Dina looks great to me.
Oh, yeah. She's a hot mom.
I'm no fireman, Dina, but maybe you can picture getting under me. Let's talk about Dina right now. And this.
How's your nurse going to feel about that?
Well, I don't know. Dina was dressed up as a nurse, so I'm cool with it.
One nurse, you know.
When you say you see one nurse, see them all. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. I'm not thick and rich on top, but I do love nurses. Dina, what do we think of her? Boring as hell, but listen, I mean, I don't have huge problems with her other than she's boring. I know she's going through a lot. You can't make light of her separation and impending divorce and whatever because we don't know the entire story and we never will and no one does. So it's something serious to be going through that we have to give empathy towards. At least she has her kids, but her daughter's leaving for college pretty soon. So she's going through a lot. Should she be out dating? If you were separated where she is right now, would you guys date?
I don't think I would.
I don't know what her situation is at all. I really don't know anything about it. But I don't think she should seriously be dating. But from what I remember from her, it seemed like her husband was gone all the time. So I don't know like how intimate they ever were. I think it might be okay for her to just be taken out, you know, on a lot of first dates to just sort of, you know, get out. She hasn't dated.
Yeah.
That is what she needs.
Ever,
if I were her and I was still living in the house with my husband and they're still kind of sometimes sleeping together, which she said a couple episodes ago, I don't think I would be comfortable going out and dating anybody. But then again, she needs to get out of that house and, yeah, have a bunch of first dates and just do Dina, just do her.
Just be like, yeah, just be taken out to dinner and just...
Yeah, just get her confidence back up and...
There is something to be said, too, for Dina. She mentioned very kind of in passing how she didn't really have a whole lot of time to date. She had the first husband, then there was a second husband. There's like 3 months in between. And there's this idea, and it's not just women, it's men, too, but there's this idea of people in dating that you, it's a serial monogamy idea that you kind of run between one to the next, and you're never alone. And it's not even so much that you need the first date, or you need to go casual, or you need to meet a lot of people. I think Dina and a lot of other people in the world should just be alone for a couple months. Not like a week or two, not like, you know, here and there. Be alone for like 3 or 4 months. Learn about you and what you want, and then go on all those first dates. And now would be the perfect time for Dina to be alone. You struck out twice with husbands. Maybe figure out what's going on with you. I know it's not her fault only, but you hold some of the fault there. Figure out what's going on with you personally before you go and do something else with another guy.
Yeah, I am completely with you. I don't think she should be back into a relationship, and completely think she should be working on herself. But it does seem like she's struggling with self-esteem and whatever, and sometimes to just leave the house is like an okay thing. Not that I'm saying she needs to get her self-esteem from a man. I feel like I already feel the YouTube comments coming. You know?
Dina did say too that she likes to be at home all day, which I am the same personality. If you don't force me to go outside, if I don't have something to go to, like, I'm cool with chilling at home all day. So I could understand if you are alone too much, you know, maybe you become a hermit or something on some level. So I get her personality. But I just wonder, like, even with the dating thing, don't even date anybody. Take a couple months. Mm-hmm. Literally don't go on a single date with a guy. Don't have anything romantic or sexual in the slightest. Learn about yourself. Be alone. Spend time with your kids before your daughter leaves for school. Mm-hmm. And then do your thing, whatever.
I think she's guilty of getting married too young the first time around. So then the second time it was like, well, crap, I have a kid and I don't know how to date people. And, you know, the first guy to ask her out, it was like, yo, let's get married. Cool. I need somebody to take care of me. So now it's a whole different situation where she can take care of herself. She's never dated. And yeah, it's all about, I'm definitely guilty of doing the dating people back to back to back, you know, and it's when you take the 6 months to a year off that you have the best time of your life. So,
yeah.
How many pairs of shoes did she have?
Oh, my God.
7,453.
300 or 400?
I think 400.
Something insane.
And she was trying to pick out ones to give to charity, and she came up with, what, like, 6 pairs?
She didn't want to give anything up.
Yeah.
No wonder she doesn't want to get divorced. She didn't want to give up any of her stupid shoes she doesn't want to wear anymore.
Her closet is legitimately bigger than my apartment. And I've got a studio that is big for a studio. Her closet is much larger. It's ridiculous.
I thought it was funny that she said that Tommy had said, well, I can't build you our dream house, but I'll build you a beautiful closet. And I'm like, how is that not a dream house? Like, it's humongous. It's gorgeous. Your closet is bigger than our apartments. Okay.
Just look, Dina, if you're looking for a husband and you got that dream house, you got that nurse outfit, I'm here. You just hit me up.
Are you, like, really into Dina?
No, I'm not. I just think Dina's, like, pretty hot. I'm going to be honest
with
you.
She's beautiful.
Dina's hot. She's of all the housewives on this season, if I had to rank them, and I'm not going to objectify them all.
Go ahead. Starting at number 6.
Number 1 is Rosie, and number 2 is Dina. I'm serious. Dina's hot. let's move on before I do start ranking them all, because Lord knows I will. Let's talk parenting. We see a lot of parenting on this episode, as we often do and are wont to do on a lot of episodes, and we see it in a couple different ways. The first one that I want to talk about, Anna, I'm interested in your thoughts on this, is Teresa and Joe. The portrait, the family portrait, giving it to the girls, showing it to the girls. I don't know about you guys, but it's as if Teresa and Joe are preparing the girls that one of the parents or both of them is dying. It's like, it's like they're kind of, in a weird way, saying, you know, hey, we have cancer, we're not going to make it. It's depressing to watch. I'm not saying that to make fun of them. It's sad to watch. It's really, really sad to watch, because we can talk and say what we say about Teresa and Joe, and they both pled guilty, so they did something wrong, and they're pleading to doing something wrong, and you deserve the ramifications for that, bottom line. But the daughters don't deserve what's about to happen to them. And that's really tough to watch.
Yeah. No, it was really sad. What I enjoyed about Teresa this episode is she seemed much more authentic to me. From, you know, screaming at the girls to... she seems to just sort of, like, ignore them most of the time. But But that seemed just like an honest moment with them. And yeah, last week I had some issues with her crying and saying that, you know, she's crying because she's happy. And this week when she was crying, he sort of addressed that or acknowledged it. It's sad. It's tragic. And like they're dying? No, I don't know. But it does seem like they're painfully aware that, you know, daddy's going to college.
I look at it almost like you're having to confront them for a death in a weird way, because this is life changing for them. Not only are one or both of them going to go to jail, Joe's going to get deported. Like, that's just it. He may not be able to come back to America ever. So all of life's going to change.
You think they're really going to deport him?
I think they really would. Really? If you
it's white collar. No,
listen, it's a federal crime, and you're going to be convicted of it. You're going to be sentenced. You've admitted guilt to
it. They didn't even deport Justin Bieber.
Well, the Biebs is different, okay? The Biebs. But that wasn't a federal crime. Those are misdemeanors and those are whatever. You know, Biebs didn't commit a federal mortgage fraud crime.
Biebs.
In federal court. Joe did. And commit, and you know, admitted to it. So I'm no legal expert. Maybe it's totally wrong, but I just have a feeling deportation's in his future.
Ask Jim Marchese.
We could ask Jim. You know, he doesn't practice law, but he did pass the bar.
Yeah.
Which is something only a lawyer would say. That's such a lawyer thing to say.
Totally. Well, do you guys catch, like, the blood-sucking lawyer? Like, he was actually shaking hands and talking to Joe for a second. And he's like, yeah, you just need to be a blood-sucking lawyer.
You're looking ambulance.
Joe did not enjoy that comment at all.
What about, Megan, what do you think about this Joe situation with Joe and Teresa in the portrait? Heartbreaking, overdramatic.
I actually thought they seemed completely genuine, and it was a really sad moment because we see them do a lot of fakey-fakey and a lot of Teresa not parenting, and all of a sudden for them to be addressing something that they kept kind of throwing the rug over with the kids was really sad, because it's just like, yep, this is happening. So here's your family photo to remember us while we're away.
I like the hashtag daddy's going to college. That's my personal favorite. Anna, that's good stuff. He's going to be sentenced to a couple of years, so he might actually go to college. Maybe he'll be on the 5-year plan. Our other parent... Well, let me, before I move to our other parenting situation, real quick, the one thing I do like to see with this, and this has to come out of him, Joe Giudice is getting much more emotional, and it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. He's obviously very stressed and very anxious about what's going to happen to him. But we saw when they were taking the portrait how emotional he got. We saw the situation with his dad dying very suddenly, how emotional that's kind of making him and going to make him. And then this thing with his daughters. And he's sort of coming out of his shell. And in a weird way, it's going to sound weird, but like, it's cool to see. It's cool to see a guy who's been so closed off and is such a man's man. I know he's going through terrible stuff, but it's a good thing to see him kind of become more aware of all of his emotions. And it, in the long run, when he gets out of prison, when whatever happens, will make him a better dad, a better husband, a better friend, a better person. I think that's one silver lining for him to come out of this. I don't know.
Do you know what I found interesting about that scene when Teresa was doing her talking head interview? She said, you know, as long as we have our health, that's all that's important. All I care about is my family, you know, my husband, my girls. Well, and my parents. And Joe's parents. But she didn't mention her brother. And last season, the last couple of seasons, all she would talk about is her brother, but that's when things were bad between them. And Joe always talks about how much he loves his sister. So mm-hmm. I just noticed that. I don't know if it means anything or not, but...
No, that's an interesting idea. I didn't actually think about that. And maybe part of what's going on, and this is just me completely speculating, is as the federal government kind of closes ranks on them, Teresa and Joe close ranks themselves. And you obviously eliminate a lot of kind of half friends because they're going to say stuff behind your back. Then you eliminate maybe some very close friends, and not eliminate, but you're just not as close with them because of what's going on. And then maybe they're concerned that Melissa and Joe Gorga may do a little too much talking, even if they've worked on trust with them, and they kind of need to eliminate them, and their circle needs to become smaller and smaller and smaller. And maybe that's where that comes from. And so it's not necessarily too backhanded at Joe, but it's necessary for them to do that, to say, we can't trust 15 people. We can only trust 5. Mm-hmm. You know, we can only trust our parents and whatever. So, which maybe is a good thing for them.
Yeah, I think she's kind of in survival mode. And it's like, the only people I have to worry about are my kids and my husband. until I don't have to worry about my husband, because someone, this, you know, the state will be paying to worry about her husband.
He's going a full ride to college.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's talk about our second parenting group real quick, and that is Amber and Jimmy filming the commercial.
Just awful.
Great acting, huh?
Great directing.
Great directing. Phenomenal directing. Pretty bad acting. I guess there's not much more to say about those two.
No. I just thought Jim kind of seemed like a jerk to his kid who was trying to direct for the first time.
Jim's a jerk to everybody.
Man.
Jim is a jerk to everybody.
But yeah, he was like taking over directing.
Yeah. And he kept saying, like, cut louder.
Your poor kid.
Yeah. He's, how old is he?
He's, oh, the greatest gift, I think he's 12 or 13. He's like, the greatest gift you can give is to let your kid try to do something they really want to do with their life, because I don't even like my job. It's like, well, if you're a total jerk to this poor kid.
How much do I want to read Jim Marchese's books?
Oh, God.
More than anything.
They're probably some super creepy, like, serial murder, something weirdness.
I get the feeling erotica. They're, like, self-help books. I get the feeling it's, like, Jim Marchese's six easy steps to, like, enlightenment. Like,
How to pass a bar and not be a lawyer by Jim Marchese.
How to make a bunch of money and not love your job. There's so much to do there, but it's, who knows. Let's do news and gossip real fast, though.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, Anna, I know you've got some good stuff.
Well, I did a little digging on Mortgage Now.
Da, da, da.
And they have a number of lawsuits against them for all the DOJ in that he's doing.
All the DOJ in?
Yeah, so you can research it yourselves. I would just maybe Google Mortgage Now lawsuits. But something that, you know, they didn't always comply with housing and urban development underwriting and quality control requirements. They've closed loans illegally. There's a major lawsuit against them, and they, Jim Marchese personally tried to he made a bunch of counterclaims, which were all dismissed. people refinance with them, and Mortgage Now was supposed to pay off the previous mortgages, and they didn't.
Oh boy.
Putting the people into debt and ruining their credit. And then they don't respond to consumer complaints with the Better Business Bureau. So
Wow. They're
a little bit shady, that Mortgage Now.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Shady.
I don't like them. I don't trust them. And neither does Reno.
Anna does not endorse Mortgage Now.
I know.
She will not be flipping her hair on the commercials. All right, Megan, what you got?
All right, so Teresa and Bravo not getting along. So Teresa, the trip that the ladies are going to take this season that they always take is to Miami. Well, Teresa never even went. So I guess when we're going to see those episodes, we're going to see no Teresa, or maybe flashing to Teresa at home. So Bravo is mad at her, and she is mad at Bravo. She was doing an interview with the New York Post to promote the season right before it started, and the interview started taking a hairy turn, and her Bravo representative that's there with her didn't really do anything to stop it, and she got all worked up and upset. So apparently she's, you know, had all kinds of screaming matches with the honchos at Bravo. And I don't know, I wouldn't make any enemies if I were her, and I really needed this payday to pay my law fees.
You guys see Teresa and Andy Cohen just getting into it behind closed doors?
Yes, totally.
She's pushed him really hard, and he's brought it up several times. Yeah,
I know. He's do not get on Andy Cohen's bad side.
Hello? Oh, I know.
This is going to be her last season, and she's an idiot.
Hashtag gay mafia, man. I'm telling you. Do not get on Andy Cohen's bad side. Speaking of Teresa, we've got some hot pictures. New Ben's engineering for us. New Ben, throw those pictures up. Thank you, sir. We've got Teresa at the beach wearing bikinis, Instagramming.
Ooh.
Here's the thing now. In March, she pled guilty to these charges. Her and her husband both pled guilty. In August, end of July, Teresa, who is 42, by the way, pretty good body for 42.
She looks good. Great.
And I think Joe's lost a little bit of weight, it looks like, too, on some of these pictures.
The stress.
Stress diet's the best.
Posing at the beach, amid all this uncertainty, one thing to note while we show you guys these pictures, they pled guilty to bankruptcy fraud, conspiracy to commit mail fraud, wire fraud, and failing to pay their taxes. Ask Wesley Snipes how that turned out for him. Teresa faces up to 27 months in jail. Joe faces between 37 and 46 months. Not a minimum. 37 is the minimum. So Joe will be in jail for 3+ years. Teresa, they are saying her lawyer will ask for probation for her. And based on her criminal history, there is a possibility that the judge could grant probation. So she may not serve jail time. She may be able to be out with the family, which would be good. But Joe's going away, and it's only a matter of time until that sentencing hearing comes up. It was supposed to happen in July. It was delayed, so we will see.
Well, I'd like to have a shore house and be a federal criminal at the same time. Goodness. We're having a great summer.
I would just want a shore house. You can leave the federal criminal.
Or that.
All right. Let's do predictions really, really, really quickly, you guys.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I predict Amber's hair was not real. Those are extensions. What was pulled out of her head was fake. No harm, no foul.
That's a decent prediction. I'm going to remind everybody of Caroline Manzo's prediction when she said the word prediction, that Joe will go to jail, and while he's there, Teresa will leave him because she's going to be providing for her family. She's going to be like, I don't need this guy.
I don't need this guy anymore. That's a good thing. I think Joe married up and Teresa married down. Not to just throw that out there at the end very quickly, but I think Teresa could do a little bit better.
Yeah, so she'll, yeah.
Totes. I think if my psychic powers are cloudy tonight. I don't know. I think next episode, the fight's going to be very shortly, you know, it'll be 2 minutes of the next episode to start out. And then I really can't predict what's going to go on for the rest of it. Maybe just a lot of rehashing and talking crap about each other. And I don't know where,
episode.
I can't see where we're going from here. Other than Jim sucks and he's going to be like the seventh housewife.
Hey, by the way, Kathy made an appearance on this episode very briefly. Kathy Wakile. So
Kathy,
hello, Kathy.
And her cannolis.
And the cannolis, of course. I was surprised they brought her back. I was surprised they gave her a little graphic on the bottom third. I was surprised they even acknowledged her. But Kathy makes a guest appearance. Thought she was done. All right, guys. Speaking of done, we are done. So social media links, Twitter and stuff. Anna, where can they find you?
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor. KOPPELFORMAYOR.
What about you, Megan?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecher. MEGANSTECHER.
I always love Koppel for Mayor. Greatest Twitter handle in the world. I'm on Twitter, at Bobby DeMiro, and I just released a documentary, very different from The Housewives, on Skid Row. It's a big homeless district here in Los Angeles. I followed a guy around Skid Row, released, I think, a very interesting documentary. So if you're on Twitter, you can go to hashtag Skid Row Tuesdays, or on YouTube, just type in Skid Row Tuesdays. It'll pop up. It is totally free. You can watch the whole thing there. That's it this week on Housewives. Guys, thank you for joining me. Megan, best of luck the rest of the way if we never see you again for a Housewives show. But just, you know, remember, okay, Team Joe Gorga, not Team Joe Giudice. I'm a Joe Gorga guy, so defend him for me in the future, okay?
All right, I'm a Gorga fan, too.
Good, thank goodness. That's it this week on Housewives of New Jersey, guys. We will be back next week like normal. Hopefully we'll be with him, maybe not. Either way, thank you for watching. We'll see you 1 week from today.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.